We've been in this exciting series, Unshackled. It's a powerful series. But we're going to be in the book of Galatians. So while I'm talking right now, you can go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to be starting in verse 1. But a couple of weeks ago, Pastor came with the message, and he taught on a great message. It was No Turning Back, and he was talking about in Galatians 1. And then Elder came the following week, this past week, and he was teaching about the liberating effects of the gospel. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking about, you'll find out in just a second. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn our Bibles into Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. It reads, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you are now perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so of the law or by the hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that those that are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preaching the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then, those that are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all these things written in the book of law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come through the Gentiles so that we may receive the promised Spirit through faith." The very words of God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and we honor you today. We thank you that this word today, God, would not return void, that it will seek out, that it will save those that are lost this morning, God. I pray today, God, that your Spirit would lead me as I lead your people. God, now speak to me that I may speak to them, that your name may be glorified in all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I entitled this message, Finish the Way You Started. Finish the Way You Started. So I have a brother and sister, and I'm the youngest out of all of them, and we are very competitive, super competitive, especially me and my brother, especially during high school. Now, I was a receiver, and he was a running back, but I was always trying to strive to beat him because I was always trying to compete with him. I wanted to score more touchdowns than him, and I wanted to prove to him that I was better than he was. I even got to the point to where I would tell the coaches and ask the quarterback to throw me the ball more than they give it to him so I can get more touchdowns because I wanted to impress my father. And I remember going to him and talking to my father and asking him, I said, "Dad, what can I do to show you that I'm all in?" And he said this simply. He said, "Son, do what you've been doing. Do what you've been doing that you were taught from the beginning, from the start, and you will be doing just fine." Paul opens up a letter writing to the Galatians. Now, this is nothing uncommon. Paul wrote 13 books to all the people that are around. So it's nothing uncommon that Paul had to write about, except that he was talking about these Galatians, and the Galatians had been somehow tricked or so forth to believing that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved. What happened? Well, Paul had visited them before. And Paul had came along there and he gave them the word of God, and they've been following on the right path, he was thinking. And next thing you know, They off the path. He broke them, gave them freedom. They're unshackled. They're ready to go. But then a religious sect comes in named the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers were this religious sect that believed in the Mosaic Law, that they believed that it was 613 laws that you had to follow in order to get to heaven, and one of those laws was being circumcised. Now, circumcision, I don't know if you ever heard of circumcision, but I just want to tell you what it is. It's painful. As a child, it's not that bad, but as an adult, it's bad. Especially for a male. It's the removal of the male's foreskin of his anatomy. Just thinking about it, when we want to just go and just cry. Just thinking about it. But this was so important in the Jewish culture. And the Galatians were so set on mind that they wanted to go do this to impress the Judaizers. So would you think that Paul was happy of having to go back and re-preach his sermon? Not at all. Paul was unhappy. You see, in verse number 1, he goes in and says, "O foolish Galatians." Does that sound like somebody that's excited? Does that sound like somebody that's got a pat on the back? No, he's mad. And he goes in and he says, "Who has bewitched you?" Now, this word is so powerful because it means to have a spell, that you're under a spell or you've been mesmerized. Or he's saying, who has tricked you enough to tell you that you had to be circumcised in order for you to be saved instead of knowing who has saved you? So my key truth is this morning. Just because you think that you are good enough by your own standards doesn't mean that God has changed his standards to accommodate yours. Just ain't gonna happen. Just because you think that you are good enough doesn't mean that God is gonna change his standards to help yours out. See, I wasn't good enough to gain my father's approval. No matter how many touchdowns that I got, no matter how many times that I practiced, no matter how good I thought that I was, it didn't matter that I was never going to be or gain the approval of my father. See, that's something that a lot of people deal with in this day and age. A lot of us focus on those things, and because it was kind of ingrained in our mindset that we should have to prove ourselves to one another. And that's hard of thinking that I had to prove myself to my father in order to gain his approval. So imagine a Christian, we're thinking that we have to prove ourselves to God to show him that we are saved. So point number one is this. The entire Christian life is based on faith, not performance. No matter how many laws you follow, no matter how innocent you think you are, no matter how good you think you are, you will never be good enough on your own to gain salvation. Paul even writes and talks about it. He says in verse 2, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law?" Basically, he's saying, when I came to you, did I give you the Mosaic laws? Did I give you the Ten Commandments? And then, therefore, then you were saved by them? Or did I give you the Word of God, and I told you that you were justified by faith and faith alone? Did I come to you and give you the Word of God to where you knew exactly what I was teaching? Basically, what he's saying, or did I give you enough information for you to say, I received the good news, and now my life has been changed? Has your life been changed by the law? Did the law save you, or did Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law, save you? Which one was it? So he came in here, and he says, did I give you the word? No, he says, I gave you the word to the purest. I gave you everything that I got. And I didn't come in here and tell you about 613 laws in order for you to be saved. And you thinking that somehow that this is going to save you? See, Jesus even dealt with a similar type of situation. He had a run-in with the law, like I did that, a run-in with the law. Let's turn into your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17, and Jesus is talking to a young rich man. It reads, "As he was setting out on a journey." So this is Jesus. Jesus had just finished preaching and finished healing and doing miracles. And now Jesus is setting out on his journey again. "And a man ran up and kneeled before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is big. He's saying, Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? Jesus comes at him at this, and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments? Right off the bat, you're thinking, okay, well, you do need the law, okay? He says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, and honor your father and your mother. And then he said to him, teacher, these things I have kept from my youth. Right there, this is some hilarious stuff. He says, basically, I'm righteous. I just want to let you know I'm righteous. I'm self-proclaimed righteous. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. It's almost like when you tell your son or your daughter or your child, hey, you know, I need you to take care of your chores and do them. And they say, okay, I took care of them. I took care of everything. I just need to borrow the car. I want to go do something. And you look at them because you already walked by their room and you already seen what it looks like. And they say, I took care of my chores. I took care of everything. And that's how Jesus looked at him. I'm like, really? He loved him. Even though he knew that he was lying, he still loved him. But then he said this, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. But don't forget this next part. It says, and come follow me. Disheartening by the saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Jesus was saying to him, good, I'm glad that you follow the Ten Commandments. I'm glad. That's great. He says, but I need you to do something else. You said that you're righteous, no problem. But now, to show that you're righteous, go ahead and sell all your belongings and then come follow me. The key word is to come follow him. Jesus is saying to him that salvation lies in me. That's how you get saved, by me, by following me, following what I do. That's salvation, not just following the Ten Commandments. He was basically saying to him that following the Ten Commandments should be a result of being saved, not being saved by them. Point A, hearing the word with faith equals salvation. Hearing the word with faith equals salvation. Later on in the verse, it says that, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or pay attention to this next part right here. It says, or by the hearing with faith. This is very important for us to understand, because we need to know the mindset of the Galatians on why Paul was really upset at them, because he felt that he had already took care of business and gave them everything that they needed to know. So what is faith? We need to know what is faith, why he was so upset. What is faith? And we know in the scripture it says that in Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith comes, Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In other scriptures, it says, in other versions, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know that that's faith. That's what faith is. But how do we get this particular faith? We get it in Romans 10:17. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So, okay, now we know what faith is. We know how we get it. But why was it so important? Why was faith so, or why is faith so important? We must understand this. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whomever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. That's faith. That's why Paul was so upset, because he says that I gave them this. I showed them this. This is how you got saved in the first place. So why are you budging on what I have taught you from the beginning? He's mad. He's like, I gave everything that I have and I got this down pat, and you followed this to a T, right? Point B, don't be misled. Don't be led astray by false doctrine. Don't be led astray by false doctrine. Now, the first thing that I think about when you're thinking about being led astray, I think about a 3-year-old. And this 3-year-old been raised up from the beginning. His parents, his mother and father have been teaching him that don't go anywhere with strangers. No matter what, don't go anywhere with strangers. And throughout his years in 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, his mom is telling him, don't go anywhere with strangers. And in 7, 8, and 9, he don't go anywhere with strangers. And then he turns 10 on his birthday. And after he turns 10 on his birthday, he's having this great birthday party, and all these people are bringing him gifts and money. And he's excited about it. And he's like, I need to go spend my money on what I want. And so he asked his brothers and sister, he said, could you take me to the mall so I can go get something for my birthday? And he says, well, the brother and sister say, well, go ask your mom, go ask your dad. And they, so they go and go ask, and he's saying to them, like, mom, can I go? And she's like, you know what? We've been teaching you this from the beginning. So go ahead, go with your brother and sister. He gets to the mall. They take him to the mall, and it's a big store, big Toys R Us store, and they send him in, and his brother and sister started to roam around, and they started to look at stuff, and all of a sudden, he had drifted off and looking at his things, and he gets lost. But then a young man, a gentleman, comes to him and approaches him and says to him, he says, son, your brother and sister are looking for you. Come follow me, and I'll take you back to them. The young boy thinking to himself, like, well, I've been learning from the beginning that my mom and dad said, don't follow strangers. Don't go with strangers. But then on the other side, he says, well, then, but they did know that I had a brother and a sister. And then next thing you know, he falls and takes him away. See, the Judaizers did the exact same thing to the Galatians. We have to know that. They took them away from what Paul had been teaching them from the beginning and took them away from the prize, what they were going to receive. Totally forgot, totally misled them. See, we live in an era where we deal with the same thing today. We deal with the different gospels that everyone have out there. We deal with the Islamic gospel. We deal with the Mormonism. We deal with the Jehovah's Witness. We deal with so many new gospels out there. I mean, it's almost like a liquor store on every corner. It's the one popping up, a new religion, new this, a new that. And you're like, man, I'm going to follow that. Because they teaching you this. They saying that you can live a life of hatred, of strife, of envy, of jealousy, and you can still be a Christian. You can still get to heaven. Or they tell you that, hey, you can live a lifestyle of sexual immorality, of fornication, of adultery, or of homosexuality. Key word, their lifestyle. You live in that lifestyle, that means that you're practicing it, and therefore that people are teaching you that and moving you away from what God has planned for you. God doesn't want that for you. We don't need to be misled. We don't need to be led astray by false doctrine. There's too many out there. But God wants us to be centered on his doctrine that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and he died for your sins and for my sins. Amen? See, all of those sound good, right? All of those doctrines sound good. But there's a path that we all have to take. And that path leads us to a gate. And the gate that Jesus wants us to enter is the narrow gate. That gate is the hardest gate to get in. I want you to, if you can, you know, if you want to get into the Word, turn into Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, enter by the narrow gate. I love how Jesus put it. Enter into the narrow gate. He gives you two gates that you can get into after your path as a Christian. Get into the narrow gate. It says, then he says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. It's broad. It's wide. It's wide open. A whole new world, right? Whole new world waiting for you to jump into it. But then he says this. He says that there are many who will enter that gate. He says, but the gate that is narrow is the way that is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The few, the proud, the Christian. The few, the proud, the Christian. I know you wanted me to say something else, but I'm talking Jesus up here, okay? Amen? Now, point number two, your past experiences in Christ will help you and others grow. Will help you and others grow. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul says this: "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you are now perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain?" Paul starts to drill them and telling them question after question and saying, "Hey, this is how I came to you. Come on, come on, come on." And then he ends up in 4, he says, this is crazy. In that verse 4, he says, "Did you suffer so many things that are in vain? If indeed they're in vain?" Paul wants them to know that don't forget what God has brought you from and pulled you through. Don't forget that. See, the text suggests this, that obviously that the Galatians were persecuted. And he was telling them that why then, if you don't believe that, why didn't go through it? Why go through that of being persecuted just because the sake of whatever? See, we've been through all things in our life. A lot of us been through a lot of things in our life. Maybe you don't. Amen, Pastor Marcus. Yeah, I've been going through a lot of things in my life. We've been going through a lot of things in our life, but I'm telling you this much, that it hurts more when you go through them as a Christian. Well, maybe not for you, but for me. Because when I was first saved, I thought I was on cloud 9. Nobody can tell me nothing. I was like, yeah, okay, since I'm saved now, I don't have to worry about trials, tribulations. I don't have to worry about getting hurt. I don't have to worry about getting sick. I'm good because I'm a Christian now, because I didn't know too much. You know, you a brand new Christian. You're just like, hey, everything's going to be fine. Jesus is Lord. He's going to protect me from everything, and you're good to go, right? But somebody came and told me, says that the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. It means that everybody's going to go through it. And then he says that God is no respecter of persons, meaning that God don't do favoritism. That was kind of like a shock to me. And I'm like, what? Are you serious that I have to actually go through some stuff in my life? Because everybody go through it. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian. It doesn't matter that we all going to go through some things. But God wants us to know that it doesn't matter what things that you go through, because you, as you go through them, he wants you to grow through them. And not only go through them, he wants you to grow through them and then share those experiences with others. Just like Paul did for us. Paul went and taught these Galatians on what they must do, but then we learned from them. That's what the word of God is for, that we learn from what they did so we can use those experiences, help us, let us go through it, and then help someone else to go through it. But don't do something dumb, and right when you go through something like, okay, I just went through a divorce, I'm going to go help somebody else. You just went through a divorce and help somebody else. Well, wait a minute, you have to grow first. You have to go through the process. You have to go through that part of that pain and that anguish and understand why God is doing what he's doing. And then after the growth takes place, then you can share those experiences. Amen? It doesn't matter. God wants us to know that we go through some struggles, but use those struggles. He want to use those struggles to benefit you and use those struggles to benefit others. Point number 3. We have benefited through the seed of Abraham through faith. We have benefited through the seed of Abraham through faith. Sometimes Paul throws out those nuggets, but most of the time we won't catch those nuggets. We won't catch those nuggets because we sometimes refuse to actually start to get into the Word of God, right? You started getting into it and you started just to read over things and just read over scripture. But the difference is the Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. It's in Timothy. But then it also tells us that the Bereans, they searched the scripture for truth. We need to get into that era or that thing in our life to get up under our skin, to get that passion and start to read and open up the Word of God so we can see what God truly wants for us. And Paul drops us a lot of nuggets, especially when he's talking about this to Abraham. Because Paul wanted to get the Galatians back on track. That was his main intention of this letter, to get the people back on track. Just like us, sometimes we need to hear pastors speak. We need to hear elders speak so we can get back on track. Because sometimes we fall off the track, and God wants to use us in this position of power to get you back on track and to dust you off and put you back where you're supposed to be. And Paul was doing the exact same thing to the Galatians. But to help him out, he had to use a heavy hitter. He had to use somebody, one of those people, you're like, man, like, oh, snap. He brought in the old school. He had to bring the past to the present so that they can understand, because he was teaching them, had to re-preach to them, and now he's coming with it now. Now he's like, okay, this is how we need to do this. I'm bringing Abraham. Dun, dun, dun. Abraham. See, when you bring in Abraham in the Jewish culture or Moses in the Jewish culture, people start to listen. It's almost like when you're trying to, you know, play basketball. You're like, yeah, man, I'm doing my thing. I'm shooting that rock. Yeah, yeah, you need to, you know, teaching your son. Like, yeah, you just come over here and you put your arms. Like, man, I ain't got time to hear all that. And then he was like, what makes you think that you can teach me? And you say, oh, Michael Jordan is my cousin. Oh. How you do that again? Do you do your left? You do your, right here? You do, because people listen when you know somebody, right? People listen when you drop them names on them and you start saying, hey, this is what I'm talking about. And Paul did the same thing. He says, okay, Abraham. As soon as they said Abraham, the ears started to perk up like, okay, what you talking about? And then he says this in Galatians 3. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, says, know that those of faith are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, and you shall all nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. I mean, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, okay, but where's the nugget? Where's the nugget? Okay, I want you to pay close attention to the quotation marks. It says this. It says that in you shall all nations be blessed. You're like, okay, well, that could mean a lot of things, because on face value, if you were a Jew, you start to search through the whole genealogy of Abraham. You're like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, Jake, okay, I got it. Now I'm blessed because I done followed everything down to the T. I'm blessed. No. Or you start thinking, okay, what about follow all the customs of the Judaism and do everything I need to do? Nah, that's not it either. That's not it. The nugget is, you ready for this? The nugget is that Jesus Christ will be born from the seed of Abraham. And then we will be blessed and saved because we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and he came from that genealogy. So we are blessed and we are in the family of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's why, that's the nugget, that's the benefit, that's the promise. We have to understand that because we know Jesus, because we belong to the family of Jesus, we are blessed. Not when you're walking around and say, okay, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But why? Why are you blessed? If you're so blessed, won't you give away them blessings? Won't you give away the word of God? Won't you give away the good news? Amen? Won't you give away what God has blessed you with? He blessed you with him, so give him away. That's what it's all about. That's what the gospel is all about. Seeking and saving those that are lost. And there was a lot of people that are lost out there in this world, and God wants us to go out and go forth. You're like, okay, but the pandemic. I'm going to ask you this. Did you share the gospel this morning? Did you share and host a watching party this morning? Did you go through and say, you know what? I want to include somebody else in on this. That's sharing the gospel. That easy. Done deal. You share the gospel. Just like that. That's the nugget. Not just because we don't have to be Jews. We don't have to be just Gentiles. It doesn't matter. Jesus wants us into his family regardless of who you are, and that's the blessing, that we belong to Jesus Christ. That's what he wanted them to know, and that's what he wanted us to know. That's the most important part. He didn't want us to get caught up in all that legalistic style approach. Just like when Pastor was doing Bible study on this past Wednesday, and I thought it was amazing. It was amazing that what he was talking about, and he was saying that, you know, you can't, that people believe that just because you wear a certain dress or a certain type of style of clothes that, oh, you're no longer a Christian or you no longer belong in the faith or you can't dance. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up. I can't pop and lock no more. I can't do my thing. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa. No, that's legalistic style approach to Christianity. Instead, God wants us to know that we reap those benefits because Jesus Christ paid the cost to be the boss and to save those that were lost. One more time, that to reap the benefits because Jesus paid the cost to be the boss and to save those that were lost. You and I. That's why he died. That's the benefit. That's the promise. Right? Amen? Point A. Jesus Christ became the curse that was meant for us. Jesus Christ became the curse that was meant for us. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged from a tree. Now this is part that is so super powerful. Paul had getting ready to sum everything up here. He went through the whole procedure on what faith is and why faith is so important. He goes through and says, you're not justified by works, but you're justified through faith. And then he finally comes in. He brought in Abraham and showed him that, yes, we belong to Jesus. But then he wanted to put the icing on the cake. He had already baked the cake, put it in the oven, and now he takes it out. He wanted to put on that nice little chocolate frosting. Ooh, I'm just thinking about it. The nice little frosting and on the cake, and he's ready. He's ready to give it to him. He says this because he wants to hit him in the heart. He wants to hit you in the heart so you can understand why it's so important. See, Paul showed that living under the law will condemn you because no one is good enough to keep it. No one. Not you, not me, not anybody in this entire existence is good enough to keep the law. Except Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, except for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was the only one and is the only one and will never be anyone else that could do what he did. He was the only one that could fulfill the law. The only one. He took 3 nails for us. Instead, we should have been the one who had the shame. We deserve the shame. We deserve the beating. We deserve death. We deserve the 3 nails. But because of what Jesus Christ did, he deserves the praise. Amen? He deserves the praise of what he has done. He had to go to, you got to understand this. He didn't have to, but he took it on his own will because he wanted to do the will of the Father. He went to the cross. And he took everything, all the wrath that God had stored up ready for us. It was ready for us. And we were going to get it. But Jesus Christ says, send me, I'll go. I got this. I'll do it in their place. I'll go to Calvary. I'll go there and I'll put my arms up and stretch my arms up wide and I'll put my legs up and then you can put the 3 nails in me. And you can put all the shame, you can put all the guilt, you can put all the death, you can put everything upon me. I'll take it. I'll take that curse. I'll take that curse because I love them more than anything in this life. I love them. And on top of that, I love them. I love you, Father, because you sent me. That's what it's all about. The curse was meant for us, but Jesus took it in our place. And that's why he deserves the praise. See, he has paid the cost to be the boss, to save the lost, because he died on the cross. You get it? He did it, so he deserved it. That's the benefit That's the promise. We need to stay focused and we need to finish the way we started. In Christ, the passion, the love, the joy, where everything was when you got saved. Start thinking about when you got saved and why it's so important for you to get back on track. God wants you back on track. And if you're not even on track, God says he wants you to get on his track. Because it's all about his story, not ours. But how do we take that beyond the walls? Allow God's word to take root in your everyday life. Believe in the process of your Christian walk and trust in his unfailing promise. Trust in his unfailing promise. Because we need to become serious enough for the word of God in our lives.